Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are. I am Becky Brown, not Steve Arterburn, obviously, but we are so glad that you are here. And by we, I mean Mylon Yurkovic and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello in California.
Hello, Becky in Ohio. We're so glad to hear you.
Yes, I know. It's a challenge out here.
Is she there?
I am here. I'm here. And, it's beautifully snowy here, and I know it's not there.
No,
but
we have a heat warning.
It's hot. It's kind of weird.
I'm coming for that. Okay, so that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, but
I one of the things that is happening right now is the preparation for Valentine's Day. Yes. You see it everywhere. You know, we're actually celebrating here at New Life every day. We're doing something fun within the offices. Mm-hmm. However, Valentine's Day can be a tricky holiday for a lot of people, mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. And, what would you guys suggest to somebody who might resent this holiday? And resent is a strong word. Maybe it's a struggle for them.
Well, yeah. And you know that it's interesting that a lot of affairs are discovered on Valentine's Day because it's when people get sappy and sloppy. Hmm. And so, that can be a sting. But I always like to look at Valentine's Day as just being about people you love and care about. I don't like to just relegate it to the romantic, because then that's all about the haves and the have-nots. And so everybody has somebody they love, right? Mm. And so who are the loves in your life? You know, for me, my kids are my loves, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. we always do a little, cheesy kind of Valentine, celebration. Mm-hmm. Nothing extravagant, just hearts and, little gifty things.
Am I going to get anything, Jill, from you? I mean,
I have been known to do that on some years.
Yes, you
know, I love those little box hearts.
Yes.
I love passing those out.
I just wrote a piece for our website, and I started off with the fifth grade. And I said, in the fifth grade, we would make these neat little things, and some would even have a little piece of candy tape to it. And then we'd drop these off in the boxes.
Isn't that the best?
Well, it was so cool because it wasn't about the romance and the sex.
Okay, exactly my point.
Because for many people, Valentine's Day is mandatory sex day, you see. And a lot of people resent that because they just equate the two, romance with that. But I was saying it was so cool just to hear of affections and likes and here's a little sweet thing for you. And it was all in the innocence mm-hmm. of the fifth grade. And I'm saying, okay, let's do that. Now, let's do that today, and it can be to anybody that you care for.
Right, because I actually have heard on the way here different, radio hosts talking about Valentine's mm-hmm. Day. And I was thinking this very same thing, Mylon, that it starts out with children very innocently. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. about friendship. Mm-hmm. It isn't about romance.
And it wasn't sappy and sloppy.
No, it wasn't.
I wrote that down because I'm going to use it somewhere, somehow. Maybe at the New Life Weekend I'll use that.
I was just going to say that, Mylon. We're going to celebrate some of that this weekend at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop in Orange County. But you know what? Valentine's Day can also be a great day to celebrate the love of God.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Becky, for
being
God.
Wow. I mean,
I'll
have to keep you in line. But, I think about that old song that says, the love of God is greater far mm-hmm. than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest highs and goes below the lowest hell. And, you know, it's just a great reminder. God loves you, and you can celebrate that on this Valentine's Day. Absolutely. We're going to be taking your calls for a couple hours, 1-800-229-3000, and we want to talk to you, and maybe we'll share some love with you as well. So we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I want to say hello to our YouTube family. I know that that's where I get to watch from time to time. And if you want to watch us on YouTube, you can at any time, really. We're live during our live recorded shows. But also hit that subscribe button, share it with a friend. Tell other people about New Life on YouTube, and you might change their life. One of the things that we're going to do today is we're going to take a couple calls. And Mylon, I think you are going to be my assistant today, aren't you?
I
yes,
love
now that
being
we've figured
assistants.
Out the buttons. Yes. You can do it. Oh, we were laughing.
I was going to call you Vanna White. Mylon,
so glad you were there.
You can figure it out.
You know, there is a whole lot of energy going on right now. You know, and. All I have to do is say, we're going to talk to Charlene in Silver Springs, Maryland.
Wonderful. Hey, Charlene, how are you today?
She listens on WAVA.
Even better.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how are you? I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How
can we help you, Charlene?
Today. Yeah, I'm calling today for some guidance with a problem with my husband destroying things in the home. It's inside and outside, my personal things, my clothes, the tables, everything in the kitchen, the pots and pans, the walls. He cuts the floors, and then he puts the things back in the box and then puts them back in the corner or whatever, and then you just notice these things are messed up. When I approach him, this has been going on for maybe 2.5 years. And when I approached him about it, he denied it. So since that time, he was in the military, I need to tell you that, in the Vietnam War. And since that time, he had a polygraph test, and he failed it royally. We were both supposed to take it because he denied doing any of these things. But right before the test was scheduled, he said I didn't need to take it because the fingers are pointing at him from the family members, but they haven't done that. He took the test and he failed it. We haven't discussed that yet because I'm trying to get something, some way of moving forward with the next step. He has also changed where his annuity checks, two of his annuity checks go, and they're going now to his personal accounts. We've been in therapy for some issues, not long, but I just don't know if he has beginning stages of dementia or if he is just being mean-spirited, bipolar. I don't know what's going on with him. Our primary care is involved with trying to find us some help, and I just need some guidance if you could possibly help me.
Well, Charlene, we're so sad to hear of this trouble, but I think you might be on to something with the dementia. Mylon or Jill, where would you like to start?
We were actually discussing this in yesterday's show when a caller revealed the fact that they were describing a neighbor who was acting very paranoid, very also
angry,
and there are, if you will, delusions that can go along with that too. So the person thinks they're doing something right or something that within their mental framework seems like the right thing to do right now. But it is something that needs to be explored. Jill, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I think, Charlene, yes. We were wondering, as you were even talking.
Yeah, we wrote that down as you were talking.
Yes, as you were talking. So I'm glad that you are seeing that. And I think that's really important to look at, because you do see personality changes. Mm-hmm. And they can come on gradually and sometimes are intermittent. And so there's, you know, periods of the person, you know, seeming almost normal. And then periods where you see this bizarre behavior. Also, there's, you know, the idea of sundowners, where sometimes at night these symptoms can come on and be worse, but then during the day they seem very lucid and normal. And so that's where I think you can have some of that denial of the behavior, because they're almost not aware of it. Right, that it's a different kind of state of mind, and so they don't see themselves in that way.
I'm wondering, Charlene, is he connected with the VA at all?
Yes, in a roundabout way. He doesn't venture. He doesn't like doctors. I mean, he has a problem even going to our primary care, who is not part of Veterans Administration. But he stays in the room, and my son, he's moved into our son's room because he said he was being accused, which he was not. And he stays in that room all day, every day, and comes out only.
So he's having some, this is a serious situation, Charlene. And the reason why I asked about the VA is because of the support that they can offer to our vets. But, Mylan, what would you suggest for...
I just had one more question. Has he had any other medical issues, prior to this?
The only thing that he has had was a blood clot, it was in his leg.
Okay.
And I want you to know that it's been maybe 3 years ago. He was in a car accident down in Florida, a place down there, and he was down there, and he was in a car accident. It was a bad car accident, and I'm just wondering if something was. I asked him, did he hit his head? But he said no.
But still, sometimes the impact can cause your brain to hit against your skull. And so if he had a concussion or, even a minor, traumatic brain injury, and then with other issues, that can, cause changes for him. I wonder, too, people can get... if he had a brain tumor, that would cause changes in his personality. I think you really need to get a full medical workup on him and, get a baseline of, what's going on here? Because instead of thinking, I mean, it's horrible to think someone's doing this maliciously, right? Right? So if there's a medical explanation that would make sense, right, and you're seeing these bizarre behaviors... that's kind of a place to start.
Okay.
Right? Because it's very different if he's sick versus he's being malicious. And if he's malicious, then he's really angry and he's very passive-aggressive, right? And that can also be from trauma. I mean, he was in the war, so he could have some PTSD that is, resurfacing now. So a combination of things really could be going on.
Mylan, do you have anything for Charlene before we go?
Just that the full medical workup and psychological workup is going to be very important because it may be that the VA, as you said, Becky, might be the best choice, because it could be difficult for your primary care physician to coordinate all that, whereas if they went to the VA, it might have a better chance of doing a more comprehensive evaluation and exam. And again, we mustn't discount the PTSD from Vietnam. It was a horrific experience. But I also noted that you said that the onset of this was maybe a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I'm guessing he didn't have this behavior prior to that. Is that right?
That's right. He's always been a little distant.
Okay. So distant is different. Mm-hmm. Than being destructive, paranoid, and delusional. You see, he has these persecution views of you, and so he has to go hide in a bedroom. As Becky and Jill have already said, I would get him to the VA, describe the symptoms, get him there.
Yeah, go with him.
Go with him.
Because he will not give an accurate picture.
He will not. That's a good point, Jill.
Right. And, yeah. And Mylan, you said the psychological eval as well, and I think that's vital.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is really what we're dealing with here, primarily. Mm-hmm. And they're used to that. So, anyhow, Becky, good idea.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Charlene, for
calling.
Yeah,
Charlene, we're so sorry it's so hard for you to face this. We just want to let you know that you're going to need support, too. And
right.
The VA may have support groups for spouses and family members of veterans who are really having a hard time and really where you have lost your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So
a little bit at a time.
A little bit at a time. And so we care about what happens to you, Charlene.
Well, okay. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you for your help. If he doesn't consume meds, then to any kind of medical or anything, is there anything else that I can do on my own?
I think the next step would be for you to contact the VA and explain to them what is going on. They may have the resources because you won't be the only person that this has occurred with. There's a lot of folks that struggle with trauma following their service, and they are helping families all the time. So I just think that might be a good next step. And if you ask him to go, he's going to resist because he's already at that paranoid stage. But I think that's got to be your plan because there's something going on here that's not good for him.
Well, right. And Charlene, if you kind of switch your tune a little bit, it may or may not work, to you're not accusing him any longer. You're worried about him. You're concerned about him, and you think some things may be happening that aren't his fault.
And you haven't people with you, Charlene, if you will, an interventional team of family members, et cetera. And you say, Dad, we're going to get in the car together. So come on, let's go. We're going to go get some help. And so you're not trying to do it all by yourself, Charlene. That is just almost too much. You're going to need help. It's possible, and I do not know the answer to this, Becky, you might, or Jill, if the VA has interventional teams that come out,
I don't know.
That come out to your house and do an evaluation or an intervention there, which would take a lot of pressure off Charlene.
Yeah, they might, and that's why the first call needs to be
absolutely
just to find out what programs are available.
Right.
Thanks, Charlene, for calling. I think we're going to go to Kelly next, who's calling us from Boston, listens to WBEZ. And Kelly, how can we help you today?
Hello, everyone. My first time calling, so I'm nervous. I'll just give a background story on a 50-year-old woman married, and about 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, a lot of information about my past came to surface, including childhood trauma, and at that time, I didn't know how to process or do anything about that, and through the process, though, some things that I was not aware of on myself came up, like memory loss almost. For example, I went on a trip to a historical place, but then I had been in that place before in my past. When I went to that place again, in that present time, I did not recall the memory from previous time, and those kinds of things. With that isolated situation, I realized that happened many times, and so these things are, I'm realizing, are plaguing my relationships, and I don't know what to do or where to start.
Okay, well, Kelly, that can be a lot to comprehend and to move through and heal from. Jill, Mylan, where would you like to start to help Kelly?
It's frightening when we don't remember things. It would be very alarming for somebody to tell us something and we have no memory of it. But That is one of the indicators of trauma. It's also one of the indicators of chaotic or disorganized attachment, that we do have memory lapses or we don't remember certain things. Kelly, you can hear the music, and we're going to be going to a break in just a few seconds. So
yeah.
I'm going to let you, Becky, take us to that, and we'll come back to Kelly.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if we would love to hear from other callers too, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be taking your calls for a couple of hours. And you could make a really good choice by giving us a call. It could be something that begins your journey of healing, just like what we're talking about with Kelly. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Kelly, and she has had some revelation of past childhood trauma. And Mylon, you had just begun talking about how having loss of memory can be pretty distressing. Do you want to continue to help Kelly on this?
Sure. Kelly, again, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. And it is a blessing to know this information, but it is also very difficult to tolerate and manage the information. So I want you to know we recognize the tension that you feel. Mm-hmm. But it is common, if childhood abuse has taken place, for the brain does an interesting thing. It dissociates or it disconnects from the current event to avoid the full impact of the pain. It actually, your brain will just automatically remove you from what's going on. And so there is with that a memory that does not occur. People, even in auto accidents, they don't remember what happened, or they're knocked unconscious or they go unconscious. And so they don't remember this. But what Kay and I have found, my wife and I have found with people from backgrounds like this, is the amazing work of God to just give you pieces, just as much as you can tolerate at the moment, and then another piece and another piece. So the more you lean into it to just deal with the implications as it relates to your present day and your present day relationships, that you work on that part of it and then let God be in charge of the revelation of more information according to his timetable, and more dots will appear and things may become more clear.
Okay, you just said all that beautifully. That's similar to what I was going to say, that God really does protect us, right? And keeping us from coming completely unglued, right?
Yes, it would be too much information.
It would be too much, yes. And it's too much to tolerate when it's happening. Right? There is evil in the world, and so God does have used this way to protect us. And I really like that idea. So many people, when they start to remember things, want to find ways to force it. Mm-hmm. And they think they have to remember everything right now in order to get better. And that is not true at all. And I love what you said, because I think that is true. God gives us what we can handle, and as it comes up, we deal with it, but we don't have to force anything, right?
Well, and you know what I think too, Kelly, there are treatments available for trauma care.
Right.
And so if you were to seek a counselor who specializes in trauma, it can be everything from what we've talked before about eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Mm-hmm. It could be some body work like polyvagal. You know, there's all kinds of things that are out there now to help people have some relief from the stress that the trauma causes as you're working through these issues. And, you know, both of you said it perfectly with, you know, you don't have to go digging up things. There's enough stress right in front of you to just even trying to organize this.
Right. Start where, but do lean in. Like, start where you
are.
Get the help. Get someone to work with and to help contain things for you as things do come up, because you can't do it alone. And you don't want to just, like, run from it.
Right. We're going to send Kelly a copy of the Restoration Bible, Kelly. And if you need a counselor, we would love to direct you to somebody in your area. And just hold on, and we'll take care of that, get that started. I do believe that Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio.
Yes, ma'am. I was directed to do so, and I arrived on
well,
schedule.
I'm glad you're doing what you're told. What's happening, Larry?
Well, Becky, you mentioned it. We got the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at noon. We're out of there. But what an amazing workshop. I got to read your testimony. And so my purpose is twofold here. Testimony gets you to sign up. And, folks, if you can support this ministry, we really would appreciate that, because this ministry is not possible without your financial helping us to do so. Okay, before coming this weekend, my husband and I lived separate lives under the same roof. I was lonely and lacked hope. This weekend, my hope has been renewed. Hope that I can become more whole. Hope that he can fill bleak gaps my childhood abuse left behind. Hope that we don't have to be lonely together for the rest of our lives.
Hmm.
I leave here with tangible things we can do together to promote connection. If there's something this weekend we'll do that you've never experienced at another workshop, that is how to learn to be, she says, lonely together. We say broken together. And to work on yourself as much or more than thinking that the other half of your marriage is going to get well. So sign up today, please. Give us a call, 800 New Life, and they'll fill in any gaps or any questions that you have. They can answer. But we need your help.
It could be the best Valentine's Day gift you give your spouse.
Boy, that's an understatement if there ever was one.
Well, we are... Oh, go ahead, Larry.
I just want to remind people, when I ask for your support, how about joining Club New Life? Club New Life is automated giving every month, $30 or more. And it makes all the difference in the world when we have a base of support that we know will be there. Things come up in life, you know, political things, crises, people having to raise money for this or that. But if we know we have an amount and a sense of a group of people that will be there every month, it means everything. So we will appreciate if you can do that for us.
Yeah, we are so grateful for our Club New Life family. They do make a difference in the lives of so many people. We will be right back answering your calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we will be back in just a minute. It can make the biggest difference in your life. Give us a call.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. In case you didn't know it, it's February. We've been talking about Valentine's Day, and we have a special book this month by Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop. We miss Dave so much. I just heard his voice on a commercial.
Aww.
But they wrote a book called Smart Love. And, you know, it's better than crazy love or stupid love, right? So, but this book will help you understand you and your spouse's emotions, how to manage those emotions, and walk hand in hand through situations when emotions run high. And for the amount of any gift that you want to give New Life this month, we'll send you a copy of that. And I know it'll be a blessing. Right now, I want to bless Amanda. We're going to take her call from L.A., and she listens on KKLA. Hi, Amanda. How are you? And how can we help you?
Hi. How are you? I'm good. How are you? Thank you for asking.
We're Yeah, we're good. How can we help you today?
So I just wanted to ask the question outright, how to forgive somebody who I was really close to growing up, my brother. He molested my nieces, and he's in prison now. And I adopted his kids because he was going to be there for a while. So he writes letters to them. And I just don't know how to go about forgiving him, and if I should let them have a relationship, or it's just.
I hear your Amanda, heart, Amanda.
Amanda, that's a really hard one. Have you had much interaction with your brother?
Not since he confessed everything.
Okay.
How long has that been, Amanda?
But I was more on his side because it was more like he said, she said.
It was hard to believe, probably.
Yes, it was. Very hard.
Because this is your brother you grew up with, right? And how could he do something like this? In my book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, I actually, Becky, think that might be a good one, even though it's talking about fathers and mothers. It's also talking about situations where something like this has happened. And what do you do? And I think some of the same things that we recommend there could be helpful to you. And one of the things is to be able to, not as a way of excusing the behavior at all, but to kind of see the person in the middle of their story and to understand where the brokenness is for them. Because people don't do that in a vacuum, right? And has your brother ever been molested? You know, what's going on with him that started this deviant path of then acting out with children, right? And so often we just want to throw them in prison and throw the key away instead of really looking at there's a whole lot that goes into someone before they would do something like this. And so in that way, we still hold them responsible. It's still really not okay, obviously, but to have some understanding and to see that when people are broken and hurt or traumatized, it's like the brain gets rewired and it's trying to find a way to make things right. But sometimes it does it through really ways we can't even envision or understand. And so that might be a place to start for you. How does that sound?
I'm pretty sure he's told me that he has been molested. But never before before he confessed to everything.
Right. Well, and it's especially shameful for men. I mean, it's shameful for everybody, but men, I think, have a harder time confessing that they've been molested. And so they bury that secret, which is part of the problem. You don't get help, then you're going to act it out.
Mylan, what would you offer to Amanda?
Amanda, you're hurt here. You're very hurt.
Yeah.
This is your close. You were close to your brother. You love him. And so it's an extra special, deep problem that how do you get over it is your question. How do you get through this? And so I want you to know we really get why you called. What do I do? How do I navigate this? So Jill is really important. What she said is important because we have to try to see, as egregious a sin as this is, we have to try to see the situation through the eyes of the person who is the perpetrator of this sin. And to be able to understand, he was molested, and so he was traumatized. And so how old was he when he did these things? Approximately.
About 16 years ago, so.
Okay, how...
And they just found... I mean, they found out about it maybe 8 years ago.
Okay, and how old is he now?
He's 31 now.
Okay, so when he was a teenager, when he was 15, he did these things. And the teenage brain is really wacky all by itself. Mm-hmm. It goes into a major rebuilding mode, and our thinking and our capacities and our impulses and our impulsivity, all those kinds of things get very haywire during that period. But if we've been molested, if we've been traumatized on top of that, it exponentially increases mm-hmm. the wobble factor of the brain.
Well, and we get fixated at the age of the molestation, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then it's also at the peak of testosterone and the secondary sex characteristics of his male development. And it's just a very horrible, confusing time. And for him to also to give him grace and mercy that he was really acting out something that is a part of his trauma, and to just ask the Lord to give you the ability to see him through a lens of, as Jill already said, through as a broken person who's hurt and wounded. I think, how long will he be in prison? How much longer does he have?
He should be on parole here in the next year.
Okay. Mm. So how old are his children?
They are 8 and 9 now.
Do you have full custody of them?
I do.
Okay, is that temporary, or will that change once he's out?
No, it's not going to change. It's
okay,
mine. So
you ask a great question. What do I do with them? And I think the answer is that he writes letters, and he needs to be able to start constructing a story to them about his brokenness, and that he is working on himself, and that the children need to be able to hear that journey if, in fact, he's repentant and mm-hmm. he really gets it and he's trying to change and he's really trying to grow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And two, making amends to the nieces.
Absolutely.
Right? I think having some healing there mm-hmm. and really being able to own what he did. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to share part of his story, but not excuse his behavior.
Right.
And to really be able to have, even more than sharing his side, to have empathy mm-hmm. for the nieces and what they went through.
Amanda, the girls that you have are his daughters?
No, I have his boys. The girls are my brother's kids, so mm-hmm. I just tore up the whole family.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I think this is a family situation as mm-hmm. far as what do we do with the brother that caused this big explosion in the family, and what is the story that we are all telling each other? And I can hear your pain. Mm-hmm. The process of forgiveness is literally one big decision followed by a bunch of little ones, and some of those little ones even feel as big as the first one. Mm. And if you haven't already started to work through that with a counselor, that can be helpful. And then as far as, you know, just what do you communicate? How do they make connection with this person? There just can't be this big silence of mm. we just don't talk about it, because that creates even more of a difficulty. And I love what you guys have said. But just, Amanda, I want you to know we hear you. I hear that brokenness. And I'm so thankful for you to have adopted them mm-hmm. and that you're speaking life into them. You're giving them hope. And it's a journey, but
And also, Becky, also Dave's book.
That's what I was just going to say.
The other one that was...
Forgiving What You'll Never Forget.
Yes, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget.
And
they need that one, too.
Would one of you comment on the difference here in the last seconds between the difference between forgiveness and trust?
Well,
Yeah.
We don't give forgiveness is not trust.
Right.
Nor is it reconciliation.
Right.
Right? Forgiveness is what we do.
Where it falls, like what it's going to look like after I forgive. Cause
yeah. Well, you know what?
Forgiveness part is holding me back, but as far as, you know, how it looks after, like if I forgive him, will he think, you know, oh, it's fine, like now I can...
Right.
That's
right.
That's why that's why we're discussing this.
We'll come back with another comment.
Yes.
Yeah, Amanda, it's one step at a time for sure. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were talking with Amanda, and you were asking, Amanda, about what does forgiveness look like on the other side of it. I also wanted to add to the list of what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what happened. And it's also not approval.
Right. It's not condoning anything. Right?
Right.
So, Amanda, sorry, Becky.
No, go ahead.
So we forgive to help ourselves, right, to move on. And so we are handing the person over to God for God to deal with them. But in terms of moving forward with the person, Mylon mentioned they need to be repentant. Reconciliation is about their response. Forgiveness is our response, right? Reconciliation is their response, and it's through repentance. But Mylon, you were also saying, but even then, that doesn't equal trust. And that is something that you have to see over time. Because there are people that can say, I'm sorry, and then they don't change their behavior, right?
And so, and forgiveness does not mean that you have to be reconciled either.
No.
Amanda, I think that's a confusion that a lot of people think, if I forgive, then I have to be back in relationship with them. That's what boundaries are all about. And you can actually get to a place where you're free of the pressure of that, you know, memory, that experience, knowing that you have a good boundary in place, but you are free because you've forgiven and you've moved on and you're living your life in the present and going towards the future. Mylon, one more thing. I'd like to just say one more thing. Or not me, but you. Do you have anything else for Amanda?
No, I think she's asking the very best question you can ask. If I forgive, then what? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a great question.
Exactly.
Then what? And so then what? All these things kick in right here. You are not trying to create something close. He has to earn his way back to that. Mm-hmm. There could be supervised visits with his kids. I don't know what his probation will look like and what the requirements will be for his connection with his kids. But we would hope that over time he could have a normalized relationship with his kids, even though they remain under your custody, so that he could show them what a redemptive path looks like. Hopefully he would be a model for that. And some of the greatest testimonies in our world are people who have done a 180 in their in their life, and they say, look, going down that road was so painful to myself and other people. Let me tell you about a road that everybody should learn to walk down.
That's right. Well, and we'll be praying for that. Mm-hmm, we'll be praying for that too, Amanda. Thanks so much for calling. We're going to go to our last caller, David from Ewing, New Jersey, and listens on WFIL. David, how can we help you today?
Hey, good afternoon. I saw Doug Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L.
Oh, did we lose his call?
Yes, we did.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go to Jack, who's calling us from North Wales, Pennsylvania, listens on the app. Jack, we just got a couple minutes, but we wanted to get to your question. How can we help you today?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a long history of struggling with my father, who died away. Died 38 years ago, and I've been through counseling, and I actually went to New Life Weekend about 12 years ago. I'm a New Life member, and one thing, and I don't even realize I'm doing it, but I get filled with bitterness and irritability, and then it just dawned on me that I am still projecting father figures onto other men. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, how do I stop doing that? In other words, my boss becomes a father figure to me. So whenever he lets me down, disappoints me, or he doesn't recognize me for something, that stirs this wound inside of me, and I get really irritable.
All right. Well, so thanks, Jack. Mylon, let's start with you and see if you can help Jack.
Well, David, I'm going to share something that you're not expecting.
Jack.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Yes, no problem.
Jack, I apologize. What that means is you're still little inside. Hmm. What that means is you might be 50 years old, but 14 on the inside as it relates to relationship with a father figure or a mother figure. And the issue is for you to be thinking about, why am I kind of stuck right there in that age range? Because you're still seeing people as dad. And so what we want to learn to do, and one of the most beautiful treatments of this subject that I had to learn myself, Jack. Is that in Henry Cloud's book, Changes That Heal, the last section is becoming an adult. And he talks about when we're little and a parent is above us, and then we rotate and we learn what reciprocity and being at 3 and 9 o'clock, and then we learn even to go to the up position so that we can lead others, but then we can rotate and be followers. And he talks about becoming a full adult. And so in his book, Changes That Heal, becoming an adult is a very important chapter or section within his book that really helped me understand why I was stuck and how I was seeing myself as still little and giving people above me too much prominence in my life.
Well, and I think to add to that, Jack, and you said you've done therapy. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes we need to go back. Mm-hmm. We need to go back because we need to do like a new level. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
Well,
here.
I was thinking, Jack Mylan is referring to Changes That Heal, but I'm thinking How We Love would be a great book as well. Mm-hmm. Because of his current reaction. You know, Jack, going back to what you just said, Jill, about the, you know, you have new awareness as
right,
you have worked
right.
on this. You've got new awareness. Did you remember what you were going to say, Jill?
Right.
She was talking about going back, Jill, for more therapy, maybe.
Yes, going back for more therapy and looking at what happened when your father died. Mm-hmm. What didn't you get from him? Mm-hmm. What were you still hoping to
right.
get from him? And look at those things, because we all project a little bit and we have to remind ourselves, oh, these people aren't our parents, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to grieve those things that we didn't get and realize that as an adult, we don't get everything. We don't get all the blessings that we thought we ought to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or that approval that mm-hmm. we're looking for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So often it's like we want that approval from our dads. We're looking for it in every person that reminds us of our dad, every authority figure.
So I remember saying to myself some years ago, I finally feel like I'm 58 and 58.
Right.
58 on the inside.
Yeah.
And I'm not
right.
going to tell you how long ago that was, but it was 58 on the inside and 58 on the outside.
Right.
Because our internal ages and external ages don't match. And
right.
to that point, Jill, it's
mm-hmm.
really important that we ask, what did happen when I lost my dad? What didn't I have that I'm hoping
right.
that I might get
yeah.
from
yeah,
others?
Yeah, if I could interject.
Well, we only got like a couple seconds, Jack, but go ahead.
My dad was a Marine Corps guy. So I, as a kid, I failed out of the Marines when I was like 3.
Mm.
Okay,
and
I get
so,
it.
So yeah. that image was from very, very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we should send you Dave Stoop's book, Forgiving Our the
Making
one that
Peace
he wrote
With
about.
Your Father.
Yep, that's it. That's it, Jill. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Because he talks about those kind of things.
Yep.
Jack, thanks for calling. Thanks, everybody. If
that's
you're
a great
holding
call.
On, hold on. Yeah, it was a great call. We're going to take some more calls, 1-800-229-3000. If you're on the line, hold on, and we'll get to your call in just a minute. But thanks so much for listening, and thanks, Jill, and thanks, Mylan, for your wisdom. And it really does make a difference in so many people's lives. We appreciate you
thanks
so
for
much.
Listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.